Out of the dim depth of the past and into an equally murky future comes one of the unlikeliest heroes ever seen, Cerebus the Aardvark. Tonight's episode, Captive in Boreala. After his brush with wizardry and the flame jewel, Cerebus vanished for a time. He was next seen in the northern province of Tansubal, where, his pouch of gold long gone, he joins a military expedition bound for Boreala. There, it was said, there was a great demand for mercenaries to fight in the Blood Wars.
Sound carries a long distance in this land. To some, each sound is alike, be it avalanche or echo. To the earth pig born, each sound bears its own tale.
So it is, as his companions pant and wheeze about him, that Cerebus holds his blade at the ready and watches each darkened crevice of the surrounding walls of ice and snow. They are on the expedition in the moment. Borealan marauders, most feared and hated of the nomadic, thieving northern tribes. Cerebus turns, his blade at the ready. Quickly, he is swept into the frenzied bloodletting. Though he fights valiantly, sheer numbers are Cerebus's undoing. Moments later, disarmed, he glowers at his captors.
Whatever manner of man or beast he might be, he is a good and fearless warrior, my chieftain.
Let him live. We can sell him to a freak show in Garan.
Cerebus, recognizing the Piranian lilt of the chieftain's words, spits a curse at the towering northerner.
Come to yet, Thomas, that Faria!
The chieftain narrows his gaze. The curse is an unsavory one, alluding to freak shows and certain of the chieftain's bodily orifices.
You have made a grave error, animal. There is no reason I shouldn't kill you for that.
Save one. I'm a sword for hire, and you are in need of one.
We have seen you in combat against many foes, but we know nothing of your prowess against a single enemy.
It is undeniably a challenge, and Cerebus returns the chieftain's stare with his own steely gaze.
Perhaps you would permit Cerebus to practice on one of your men?
Perhaps. You'd like to teach our new friend how to knife fight, wouldn't you, Clog?
Knife fight? Yeah, Clog teach good.
Clog has agreed to your challenge. Our laws state that you must face him in the sacred duel of the long knives. Sacred tradition demands that you fight with a 2-foot length of cloth between your teeth.
But as Cerebus and the mighty Clog are prepared for their duel, a problem arises. Due to the difference in size, the 2-foot cloth leaves Cerebus dangling from Clog's teeth like a talisman, his stout gray feet well off the ground.
By Clovis's beard!
My chieftain, perhaps a 6-foot length of cloth would be more, sacred.
There is wisdom in your words. Very well, so be it.
Moments later, the two are joined, and the deadly dance begins. Abruptly, Clog twists away, throwing Cerebus off his feet. The aardvark's knife flies several feet away. Cerebus's feet and tail barely find purchase in the powdery snow as he prepares to meet Clog's charge. But Clog's thrust is awkward, and Cerebus easily dodges it. Then he draws Clog toward him with the twisted cloth and unleashes the dreaded earth pig snout punch that leaves the mighty Clog sprawled insensate on the snow.
As a Southlander, you doubtless have a moral code which prohibits your killing an unconscious foe.
Cerebus walks away from the fallen Clog and retrieves his dagger in a nearby snowdrift, then returns.
That being the case, sacred tradition demands that...
And plants it squarely in the middle of the unconscious Clog's chest.
Oh, I see. Outfit this man...
Aardvark.
Aardvark, for for the march.
The march. Though it is intended to be much longer, it is fated to last but 2 days from the time Cerebus joins the Borealan Marauders. It is on the third day of the march that the Marauders find themselves facing an attack between the walls of a snowy valley. The aardvark is apprehensive. Though the attackers are on foot, they are advancing incredibly fast. They seem to number about 50. The only sound that reaches Cerebus's ears is the low rumble of shifting snow. There's no challenging war cry or song. As they draw nearer, Cerebus can see their blades, heavy and composed of black metal.
What manner of army is this? Their eyes glow white.
There is time for one stray thought in the instant before the two armies clash.
It must be sorcery.
The aardvark realizes a decision must be made, even as a looming figure cuts him off from the Borealans.
Encircled these beings are, but their movements are swift, too swift for an animation spell, too substantial for conjure.
He avoids the attacker, as his experience dictates. The sword wielder leaves openings. Should he match blades, or continue staying out of reach? As the slope beneath his feet increases, Cerebus realizes the need to decide. Soon, as his attacker presses him toward a steep, snowy precipice.
Perhaps I'm being herded this way for a reason. Towards an unknown and infinitely greater danger?
Perhaps. But he is unable to fathom the magic racing towards him. And always, given the choice between unfathomable sorcery and unknown danger, the Earth Pig Born will opt for...
the unknown!
Cerebus leaps over the snowbound cliff, gracefully sliding down its steep face. At least, at first. Until a mogul sends Cerebus tumbling tail over snout through the precipitous powder. The Earth Pig braces himself for an impact in the soft snowdrifts at the base of the cliff. Discovering that appearances can be deceiving, for instead of a gentle landing, his fall makes a hole in the ground beneath him, and he drops still more into an underground passage, dark and mysterious. Cerebus blinks in the murky darkness, disoriented momentarily by his situation, but he soon recovers. There's no hope of climbing out, he concludes, noting footprints and dust around him. The prints are about a week old. Nearby, writings on the wall attract his attention. Something about time and the immortality of all beings. There are no clues as to escape routes, so he reads no further.
If another exit is to be found, it is by investigation.
Cerebus sets off into the shadows, his ears twitching and swiveling as he walks. Though no sound betrays their presence, the aardvark is certain others lurk in this gloomy hall.
They will show themselves in good time.
The gloomy hall gives way to eerily lit caverns. Crude and water-scoured carvings gaze down on the aardvark. The floor is uneven, but Cerebus has the impression of gradual descent. Then, the sensitive ears of the Earth Pig hear a sound, which, though muffled by tons of rock, is unmistakable. In mid-stride, the aardvark stops. Stunned.
Clovis's beads. Within the earth, in dark Borealo lies.
Nay, it's impossible. It's a legend. A child's fairy tale.
His sword clatters to the stone floor as Cerebus sags against the stone, his mouth agape.
The eye of Terum, gold and shining prize. No mortal shall wrest the gem.
He recalls an ancient tome. Words obliterated and passages deleted by the jealous priests of Terim.
From Crimson Claw of the Demon Kem.
Unbidden fears clutch at the Earth Pig's spine.
Kem, the dark demon. I must find an exit. He's here somewhere. Wait. The Eye of Terim. It's here.
Though fear claws at his spine, it is greed that takes possession of it. Cerebus continues on, treading a path that is well-worn, but no less treacherous for its age. His hands pass over carvings representative of the many faces of Kem. Winking lights follow him as he goes, like small insects. They seem to pose no threat, so the aardvark ignores them. The faint illumination that fills the cave grows in intensity as he nears the bottom. Cerebus nearly loses his footing as he first gets sight of it.
The legends have not lied!
It is the Eye of Terum, the most precious of the five spheres of the gods. His eyes are riveted on the ball of gold fire. It blazes like a small sun in the shadows below him. He tries to picture the price that it would fetch in the Guranian marketplace, and a smile crosses his lips.
Terum, what a prize! I'll buy a kingdom with the... Perhaps a wizard would pay more dearly for the knowledge contained in one of the five... Clovis's blood. Cerebus's mind is playing tricks on him. But no tricks will keep me from the golden eye.
It is only when he's past the orb that the aardvark notices a distant exit.
Kev shall have to find a new treasure to guard, for Cerebus lays claim to the Eye of Terum.
But the aardvark soon learns that the eye of a northern god is weighty indeed.
Clovis's beard! How can something so small weigh so much?
The glow of the gem blinds him, and he reels drunkenly on the stones of the pathway. The glowing motes hum around him like the insects they resemble, increasing in numbers with each step the earth pig takes. The path suddenly drops, and the aardvark stumbles, his feet momentarily finding only crumbling stones and air. The path he had seen was straight. Cerebus is suddenly hesitant as he recovers his balance.
What trickery is afoot here? What's this? Energy!
Yes, energy was weaving a darkling latticework about his head. Energy was probing like fingers into his mind, rending, searching, Cerebus whirls. Gone is the blinding glow in his hands. Gone, too, is the illusion of purity and beauty. In its place, all that remains is mind-numbing, spine-tingling reality.
By Clovis's teeth, a succubus! Such a fool is Cerebus for not realizing it sooner.
Its tentacles reach out, reaching to steal the aardvark's very soul.
For the first time, centuries of thy has broken my spell and seen my form. I must find its soul.
Defenseless, it seeks to attack Cerebus, shredding the tissues of the aardvark's mind. Desperation marks the succubus's movement.
This beast is different from all the others. Its soul must be found before.
The earth pig stumbles and plunges headlong into the unknown once more. Still, the tentacles flip and dart about the tumbling form, seeking, seeking.
Where is its soul?
Cerebus twists, disoriented, aware only of a pulling, tearing sensation.
Where is its soul?
The aardvark bounces, shrinking back from the tentacles. He sees them twist helplessly. He sees the winking lights return, surrounding him as he drops into space. A moment later, all goes black. An instant, or an hour later, Cerebus wakens to an odd sound. His eyes slowly focus on a tarnished iron sphere before him, half buried in the snow. Above him, whirling, winking lights swirl upward, mingling with the evening stars. The sound, he realizes, is that of sudden freedom after centuries of captivity. It is not a sound for the ears of a mortal earth pig, though. Cerebus arises and turns.
So, where is Cerebus now? Oh, I see.
He is at the site of the day's battle. Corpses are gradually being covered by drifting snow. Incongruous skeletons are visible amid the Borealan dead.
So, these were the white-eyed warriors. How many of you were freed this night? How many had the succubus caught? How many now rest in the new fallen snow?
The moon rises as Cerebus leaves the Borealan Valley. Were it not for his unusual nature, he too might be languishing in that gloomy cavern with the other trapped souls, awaiting a savior to break the succubus's spell.
Even now, the succubus must be attracting new victims.
Then, his thoughts turned to more urgent concerns.
Cerebus's belly and purse are empty. The nearest coast is 12 miles, the nearest port at least twice as far. And Cerebus intends to quaff a dozen ales and start as many brawls before another moon has risen.
Cerebus, the aardvark, is adapted with permission from the comic books of the same name, written and drawn by Dave Sim, published and copyrighted by Aardvark Vanaheim Press. Radio adaptation was written by Cara Dahlke. Production and engineering by Chris Dronan. Players for this episode were Chris Dronan, Curtis Hoffman, Dave Rome, Jerry Stearns, Cara Dahlke, and Bob Hunter. Tune in again next week for the next exciting episode of Cerebus, the Aardvark, Song of Red Sophia.